Well, you know that it's going to be all right. I think it's gonna be all right. Everything will always be all right when we go shopping. Well, you know that it's going to be all right.
Hello, shoppers. Hello, shoppers, and welcome to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. My name is Johnny Wright. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in this morning to AM 1350 KRNT Des Moines. Just past 8 o'clock now, a fine Saturday, humid Saturday. And isn't our state fair a great state fair? Yes, the Iowa State Fair, of course, in high gear. Hope you get a chance to go out and enjoy that at some point over the next 10 or so days. We're actually going to, I'm going to secret shop it. I need to let the proverbial cat out of the bag. I'm going to secret shop the Iowa State Fair and then post the results on Thursday, as I always do. More details on that coming up. Coming up this morning on the program, John McHugh. He is the manager for corporate communications and training for Quick Trip. They have over 300 stores throughout Wisconsin, Illinois, and some in Iowa. They're known as Quick Star in Iowa, and they have the most amazing training program for customer service. Going to talk to John about that and how they've been so successful and sort of what led to me calling through their corporate monolith and getting to John. Also, feedback from the Secret Shopper review of real estate agents from a few weeks back, sort of a very vocal people, very emotional subject matter. We're going to get to all that and more feedback. And a conversation with Garrett Boone. He is the co-founder of The Container Store. It is one of the most successful retail, fastest-growing retail chains in the country, headquartered out of Dallas, started back in 1978 by Mr. Boone and some friends, and built upon the premise of extraordinary customer service. You're not going to believe the amount of training that their employees go through for customer service. It's extraordinary, and their story is extraordinary. You'll hear from Mr. Boone coming up. Our weather forecast is right here, right now. Sunshine, still hot and sticky as the proverbial sweatband in your fireman's helmet, 91. Tonight, we drop down to 67 and a slight chance of thunderstorms. And I know that the people, particularly in Ames and up north of here in Des Moines, were kind of a sigh of relief when it's just a little itty-bitty chance as they continue to dry out up there. And all of us are trying to dry out after an awful lot of rain this week. Sunday, talk about drying out. 81, low humid, slight wind out of the north degrees. Yes, what an extraordinary day. That'll be maybe a record-setting day out at the fair. You keep an eye on that. Sunday night down to 62. Sunshine back to work on Monday and 81 right now. We're at 73 degrees. Big box stores. Well, let me back up. For those uninitiated, new to the program, this whole dealio dough, this here Unsecret Shopper radio show program, was started with a blog idea that became the Unsecret Shopper. That morphed into a training program that I, Johnny Wright, being of sound mind, sort of in body, implement and use with my clients. I have about a dozen clients throughout Central Iowa who I do customer service training with. I also do secret shopping, and those two feed each other in the sense of we want to see what sort of level of customer service employees are providing, and then we want to structure a training program sort of around that. And so the two feed each other and help each other, and that's the premise of the Biosphere, which is my company, B-U-Y-O-S-P-H-E-R-E. All of this is online, as is just about everything nowadays, at www.theunsecretshopper.com. You can read much more about it. And one of the things that I do with my blog is that I randomly secret shop a business or business category every week. And I've been checking out some blogs and some chat rooms that have to do with mystery shopping around the country. And I'm starting to see the Unsecret Shopper pop up. And what's very ironic is that people are saying, why would someone just go do this? Why would they just stumble into a business and just start, I think I'll secret shop this store while I'm in here? And of course, they're paid secret shoppers, and so they sort of find it somewhat mystifying, but I think equally interesting, the idea we just randomly pick a store. And of course, my response is we're all secret shoppers. We all go into stores and we secret shop them. How we keep track and how we keep score is through the money we spend, through our wallets, or the money we don't spend. And the most frightening thing for advertisers and business owners and everyone else and employees and all of us is that when a customer service experience is bad, those people don't come back most of the time. And we never see them again. As a business owner, you just don't see them. Typically, you don't hear about it. There's some exceptions to that. So in any event, that's the whole premise and the foundation of the Unsecret Shopper. And once a week, I do randomly secret shop a business. And this week, we're looking at big box stores. And A lot of people have an aversion to that. A lot of people think it's great. It's convenient. Big box store means great location. It's huge. It's the size of an airplane hangar. Probably has everything in there, plus some stuff I never thought about buying. I can go in there, spend an hour, get all the stuff I need for the week. I split. I'm done. There's a lot of controversy about big box stores, particularly as they, quote unquote, put mom and pops out of business. And the one thing to remember about a big box store is that it started as a mom and pop. It started with this small little idea that caught fire, this premise that worked on a massive scale. I'm going to read you descriptions of a couple of big box stores and how they started. For example, this store was founded in Keokuk, Iowa in 1856 by three young Polish-born brothers. The general store was a base from which they strapped packs of merchandise on their backs that they carried into the neighboring countryside to farmers and others too busy or isolated to shop in town. It doesn't really sound like Yonkers, does it? But it is. That's how Yonkers started. A couple of people schlepping through a field selling pots and pans. Very intimate, one-on-one, personal, right? Got to know people, right? In 1959, this person began building post-frame buildings to finance his college education. He found it necessary eventually to hire extra crews and to purchase more equipment to keep up with demand. After graduating from college in 62, he purchased land in Wisconsin and built an office and shop. All right, some kid selling stuff, building stuff to buy pizza and get his way through college. Well, John Menard's idea kind of took off. 252 locations, 45,000 employees, and $8 billion in annual revenue later. Small idea, makes sense, becomes successful, explodes, becomes big box. And the last one, which is going to dovetail into our secret shopper review this morning. 3 acres of potatoes were the seed for this first store in 1902. This German immigrant, I sound like this is Jeopardy. This German immigrant used the $300 he earned from his first harvest of taters as the down payment on the first of these, a small hardware and general merchandise store in Minnesota. Okay, does that really sound like a 23-store, 4,000-employee sporting goods empire? Well, it is. That's how it started. Scheels All Sports, which is the target and the focus of my Secret Shopper review from this week, which appears in Thursday's review, which you can find online at www.theunsecretshopper.com. Scheels is huge. It is 179,000 square feet. It is the fourth largest store in the Scheels chain. It covers two stories, hundreds and hundreds of employees, and it is the antithema. It is the antimatter of sort of what Frederick Scheels was thinking about there in 1902 when he planted potato seeds in a field, got potatoes, sold them, and then bought pots and pans and went and pimped them. So does customer service matter? Do the ideals of Frederick Scheels, we're guessing here that he liked to deal with people, do those still apply 100 years later-ish and some change? Well, let me read from the Scheels website. It says, providing Scheels customers with first-class customer service and the world's largest selection of sportswear and footwear are the priorities throughout the organization, unquote. So clearly, customer service matters to this company. This is a big deal. Well, let me tell you what first-class customer service is to the biosphere, what I teach. I teach about the five pillars of great customer service. It is the foundation for everything you'll hear in these reviews. That's what I teach to employees. It's a program that I've started. It's not rocket science, but what it is a reminder of the things that matter most to us in just about every relationship, not just our business or buying relationship, but in all relationships. And those pillars are smile, greet, engage, thank, follow up. Does the person in retail smile at us when we go into the store as shoppers? Do they greet us? How do they greet us? Is it an open or closed-ended question? And there's a difference in those two. We'll get to that in a minute. Do they engage us? Do they ask us about what we're looking for? And do they try to help us and hone in on the specific thing that we want, what's right for us? And then do they ask personal questions to knock down those walls that always exist between two people who do not know each other who have met for the first time? Makes sense. Smile, greet, engage. Fourth is thank. Do they thank us at the end? Do they shake our hand at the beginning and at the end of that exchange? Sure, why not? Listen, 50 years ago, and you've heard me tell this, you go into a store 50 years ago, and they're shaking you, and they're hugging you, and they're all up in you. And they knew your name, and that was just standard. And if you went into a store that didn't happen, you thought the guy behind the counter is probably just sick or something, or he had too much something or other, moonshine to drink last night, or whatever. We've changed. And not necessarily for the better. We've gotten away from that, of course, with numbers and more employees and more customers. But like I say, people who start a business look for clones of themselves as employees. The problem is that every layer of employees a business hires, they're not clones, they're faded copies. And that's why you and I can go into a store and walk through it and encounter dozens of employees and not get a smile or a greet or an acknowledgement. I call it denying our reality. We might as well be shopping by ourselves. And that's wrong. It's flat out wrong. And it's rude. And you and I don't have to put up with it. And let me tell you something. There's this little thing called the internet that Al Gore invented that is making brick and mortar stores obsolete. And any brick and mortar store owner who doesn't understand that is going to lose. And those stores are already losing as my head roars. Now, back off my soapbox, back to the review of Scheels All Sports. I went in twice to Scheels, dressed up in a tie and a nice dress shirt the first trip through and dressed as kind of a schlep going through the second time, as I do every store that I secret shop here in this here dealio dough. First time in at 1:30 p.m. I went in on a Monday. Let me tell you, it was extraordinary. Amazing. The best level of customer service I believe I have experienced in a retail outlet. Listen to this lineup. Jeannie, Darren, Todd, April, Ashley, Brenda, Joel, Randy, Lou, Rachel, Matt, Greg, Rob, Jim, and Lori all smiled at me as I approached them or came past them or came within that golden 10-foot circle they call retail. And all greeted with a hello. That's amazing. That deserves our applause and our acknowledgement. That is some great customer service training going on inside those four walls at Scheels. 15 out of 18 employees, only three sort of dropped the ball. And it was more noticeable, sure, because all these other employees have raised their game. And so the ones that don't sort of stick out like a sore thumb. So hats off to the training, the managers and the employees and the owners and everyone down the line at Scheels for that first trip in, which was absolutely, I was swarmed. I was stunned. I was walking through that store and I felt like an episode. It felt like, remember the old movie, The Stepford Wives? Sure, with Karen Ross and Tina Louise, I think, was in that thing and some other people. Yeah, and it was about this group. And it was based upon a really very popular book at the time from 72. I think 75 was when the movie came out. It was based upon this premise of this community where the husbands would replace their wives with robots. And their wives would be completely deferential and demure and sexual kittens and would, you know, bake and all that stuff. And of course, it was a tongue-in-cheek spoof of the idea that men feel threatened by the fact that women actually have, you know, want to live their own lives and be independent. But so the idea, so they turned it around, of course, but it was sort of a brilliant and very schlocky, tongue-in-cheek, sort of made-for-TV-ish sorts of movie, but very interesting premise in that, you know, these women are sort of robotic and being all smiling and demure. And that's what it felt like. It felt like the Stepford Scheels employees. They were amazingly kind. So hats off to them. Excuse me. Second time through, 7:15 that evening, was a bit of a different, kind of like they may have unplugged the robots and sent them home. Out of the 16 employees I encountered on the second time through Scheels, only five said hi. And only two smiled. Seven said nothing until I engaged them. And five engaged with a closed-ended question. Let's talk briefly about open versus closed-ended. Closed-ended is the end of all thought. It is the question that says, can I help you? requires a yes or no answer. It's the bridge closed ahead sign in retail. It's destructive to spending money. It just is. It ends the conversation, in essence. Open-ended question opens up all the possibilities. Requires thought to the response. It's not a monosyllabic answer. It is, what can I help you with? What can I help you find today? How can I help you find the thing that you want? I'm here for you. That's open-ended. That's what we look for in retail. It's what we teach in the biosphere. I got five of those there closed-ended questions. And then one superstar who has to be acknowledged, Kelly. Kelly may be the best customer service employee I've ever met. And ironically, she was on the second trip through when things weren't going so well. Kelly came up to me. We were in sort of the same section. I don't recall exactly where it was. And she said, "Hi, how are you?" Big old smile. Now, she came up to me. I was sort of browsing, and she came over. So she engaged. She was proactive, took control of the situation. Big old smile on her face. And I said, "Hey, I'm great. How are you?" "Oh, I'm good. What can I help you find?" Open-ended question. Boom. I knew we were on the right track. I knew I was with the pro, somebody who's really smart and gets it. I said, "Well, I'm just sort of looking around. It's my first time in the store." "Oh, my gosh, your first time. Well, welcome to Scheels." Boom, a welcome. Just like it's her house. She's not treating it like this 200,000 square foot monolithic airship hangar dealio dough, but she's talking about like it's her crib, it's her place. And she's taking ownership of it. "Let me tell you about Scheels. Welcome to the store and let me tell you about it." And then she asked me what I call the holy grail of personal questions that you ask in retail. "Where'd you come from? Where are you from? Where do you live? Where are you from?" was the question. And I said, "Well, I'm from Johnston." And then we went into this whole other sideline about, "Oh, Johnston, she knows this and that. And yeah, and it's not that far from the Scheels here." And then the conversation continued all the way through. And then she came back. She said, "Well, listen, is there anything I can help you find?" She said, "You've got to go upstairs and get the free fudge at the Fudge Factory because they give samples up there. Before you leave, you have to promise you're going to do that." I said, "Yeah, hey, of course, sure, sure." And that was a level of engagement, 10 to 15 minutes of that. And I just found it extraordinary. In an amazing day where half of it was really good, among the best I'd ever seen, that experience with Kelly was the best experience I've ever had in retail. So hats off to Kelly. As I wrote about in the blog, I hope you get acknowledged. I hope they hold you up as a template for how other employees in that store should do it. Just a fantastic job out of Kelly and that first set of employees. And there's nothing that occurred in those two visits that can't be taught and elevated. There are clearly some people who are not fulfilling the mandate as strongly and not engaging as strongly. But that's a training element. That's a reminder element. And let me read to you an email I received, a response from Scheels. It says, "Hello, Jonathan." What's funny about that is that when I go into these secret shopper trips, I go in as two sort of people. I'm Jonathan when I'm wearing nice clothes, and I'm Johnny when I'm wearing kind of the scrappy clothes. And so the email addresses me, "Hello, Jonathan. I wanted to thank you for your feedback and the experiences that you have shared in one of our stores. We appreciate your willingness to take the time to make us part of your evaluation, and we'll share a more in-depth perspective of our customer service with you in the near future." That's awesome. What's not awesome about this response is the way it is signed off on. It says the following: "Thanks again, Matt L. Scheels.com." There's no last name, there's no phone number, there's no title. It says, "Thanks again, comma, Matt L, the letter L, period, Scheels.com. That's not a good way to sign off on a letter. This may not be from Scheels. I have no idea who this is from because there's no ownership. There's no way to track it back and follow. This could be some 12-year-old kid who thought, "Hey, I'll play a joke on Johnny. I don't know who this is." So that wasn't so strong, and I'm disappointed, and we're going to write more about this in a blog post on Monday. Also, a reader writes, "Jonathan, I think you should judge a store by more than how many girls flirt with you. You should go through the entire process of buying and returning something to see how store personnel treat you. Your stories, while fascinating, are much too long. I felt like I had to run an obstacle course of BS just to read your conclusion, and even then it was ambiguous. Love the idea. Just get to the point." Well, you know, I've I've never been one who's been short on words. Betty, there's probably some things. They say that blogs should be short. The shortest one I've written has been 3,000 words. So, Betty, you're probably right. Coming up, a conversation with John McHugh of Quick Trip and more reader reaction to the review of Real Estate Agents that I did a few weeks back. Plus an interview with Garrett Boone, co-founder of The Container Store. All that and so much more here as we roll along on the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. It's 820 now at AM 1350 KRNT.
Toy store, pet store, shoe store, music store.
Toy store, pet store, shoe store, music store.
Toy store, pet store, shoe store, music store.
Bag. Doesn't matter where you're shopping and buying your stuff or where employees are working hard to serve you. So I welcome you to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT, 822 with Johnny. Sunny day today and 91 as we are rolling into the Iowa State Fair, of course, going on at the State Fairgrounds. Hope you enjoy that. If you're traveling there, maybe listening to the show on your way there this morning. Right now, we're already at 77. I'm just guessing, but I'm figuring it's going to be a hot one out there. Something else that was hot to me that struck my little secret shop and fancy was a trip I took up to Milwaukee, Wisconsin 3 or 4 weeks ago to catch the Braves and the Reds, Cincinnati Reds, my team, and they did well up there and had a great time up there. But on the way back, I stopped in Dodgeville, Wisconsin with my good friend Matt, and we were in a convenience store, a Quick Trip store, K-W-I-K, Quick Trip, not the Q that we're really more used to here in the Des Moines area, but the K, Quick Trip. And stopped in, and I really didn't know anything about the franchise, but as I was in the bathroom and I was doing my thing, I read this sign, and I'm going to read it to you here. It says, "Our clean restroom promise. We want you to be satisfied every time you visit our stores, so we personally promise the cleanliness of our restrooms. If this restroom is not clean to your satisfaction, if you feel there is room for improvement, please contact us toll-free by calling 1-866, etc., etc. Don and Steve Zetlow, owners." And I saw that and I thought, you know what? That is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. I mean, it absolutely suggests that the owner, I mean, not that I think I'm going to call that number and that Don and Steve are going to say, yeah, another what? Clean bathroom? Okay, yeah, we know. Sure. Bye. You know, I'm not thinking they're on the other end just manning the phones there at home with their feet up and their hair in curlers, but you almost feel that. You know, there's that tendency to think, wow, maybe they really are, and they do care, and they're taking ownership for it. So that caught my fancy, and I had to call Quick Trip to find out more about them. And what I found was absolutely extraordinary. A 300-plus store chain headquartered in La Crosse, Wisconsin. They're in three states, including Iowa, Illinois, and Wisconsin. And John McHugh is the manager for corporate communications and training. He joins us this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Johnny.
John, how do you get involved as the manager of corporate communications and training at Quick Trip? What journey got you there?
I was actually recruited by Don Zetlow himself, who is our owner and CEO. He had heard me present and work in the training field here in the La Crosse area for 11 years prior coming to work for Quick Trip. And he said, I want to enhance our training program. I want to enhance our people skills. And would you be willing to come on deck and join us at Quick Trip? So I said yes. Best decision I ever made, Johnny.
Well, that's awesome. And what in your background sort of set you up to be a trainer, John?
I actually had worked in private education for 11 years. I taught a good part of high school, primarily seniors in high school, a little bit of grade school when I first started out, and then some college.
And, you know, it's so funny you say that because for my own company, that's I guess that just makes sense. Teachers make good trainers, obviously, because that's what they do.
That's exactly the case. We're comfortable in front of people and comfortable in the classroom.
Talk about the training program at Quick Trip. When you came on board, obviously you were coming on board, it sounds like, to actually create it or simply train what was already in place?
Actually, to enhance the program. We had done a nice job in the company prior to my joining us of training the hard skills. How to run the registers, how to make the hamburgers, how to balance the books. The one area that we had not been doing a lot of training with our leaders is the soft skills, how to be an actual leader. What are those things that actually make a great leader a great leader? Because what makes a great leader isn't always the hard skills, but more often than not, the soft skills.
Talk about those soft skills. You sort of touched on some of them. I always talk about them as being the right brain, emotive parts of ourselves, the happiness where the joy and happy always hangs out. Can you sort of elaborate on more of those things? For example, I guess what I'm asking is, in the recruitment process particularly, Because I'm guessing it's easier to recruit people that are that way than to, after they've already come in, than to try to train them.
You hit the nail on the head. We actually, in our interview process, in our recruiting process, look for 7 core competencies for our candidates. Core competencies, people skills, adaptability, professionalism, positive attitude. Those things that really I can't train no matter how hard I would like to train them. You either have those skills, Johnny, or you don't. So in our interview process, which is very thorough, we try to spot those core competencies in that candidate before we would ever even think of bringing them into the company.
Is that... My sense is, and having done just a bit of recruitment, is that a tougher skill set to find today than it was 10, 20, even 5 years ago?
That's a good question. Our recruiters would say it's not harder to find. Now, we're at a little bit of an advantage here in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa, where we operate as a convenience store, because we're known as an employer of choice. So we have a lot of good candidates applying with us. Last year, we had 3,000 openings in the company, and we had close to 30,000 applicants. So we have a broad pool of people to choose from. So we don't always see the crisis of those core competencies, maybe in ways an other employer might see that.
Oh, my gosh. I think I just heard you say 3,000 openings and 30,000 applicants.
30,000 applications last year.
Now, John, how involved are you in that process?
I actually don't do much directly with the hiring process. I do most of my work training our new managers how to spot core competencies in an interview and helping our recruiters spot core competencies in the interview process, because we don't have the time, obviously, as a training department to look at all those candidates, all those applications.
My guest this morning is John McHugh. He is the manager of corporate communications and training for Quick Trip. And all right, John, let's assume I'm a newbie. I'm the new guy at the store in La Crosse or wherever I'm at, and what are some of the things that I can expect from a training aspect when I come on board with Quick Trip?
The first thing that will happen is that you'll have some real immediate and close contact with not only the store leader, but the assistant store leader and also shift leader to do some real practical one-on-one kinds of training. In addition to that, so that we have a unified training program across the board, because we have 10,000 coworkers at Quick Trip, and which, of course, in Iowa is called Quick Star for us, we have computer-based training modules that are very extensive, cover almost every aspect that young coworker, that new coworker, would experience in their days on the job.
Does that include, do you do secret shopping?
We do secret shopping. We do that internally as a company.
Talk about that. Just touch on that, not to get off the road too much. But so your secret shoppers are a company that you created internally at Quick Trip. You have full control over it. You get the data. How is that? How does that process look?
What happens is that secret shopper will then fill out a form when they're finished shopping at that store. That gets sent electronically immediately to the marketing department. It's our marketing department that oversees our secret shop program. Then that information is disseminated not only to the store, but to our district leaders, our zone leaders, and our vice president of retail operations. Then the store leader will sit down with the coworker that was secret shopped and discuss the successes of that. Now, the good news for us, Johnny, is that more often than not, there's more successes to share with that individual than there are negative factors. And so it's an opportunity for us to praise that coworker and compliment them. And when you praise and compliment behavior, you see that behavior repeated.
Tell me about the connection between the training and the secret shopper results and the revenue that stores generate. I'm guessing through the analytics that Quick Trip is a smart company, and they can say, all right, if we train this hard at this particular store and we also combine that with this level of secret shopping at this store, we can see this level of increase in revenue over this period of time.
That's an interesting point. Now, this may sound odd. Rarely will we emphasize the revenue connection to training. And when we sit down with our people, as a matter of fact, I did a bunch of training this week up in Minnesota with some of our new people, we don't come at customer service from the perspective of this is going to create more revenue. We come at customer service with the sense of job satisfaction. If you live our mission statement, which at Quick Trip and Quick Star is to treat others as you'd like to be treated, make a difference in somebody's life, you'll end up doing the right thing for the customer. And at the end of the day, what brings your deepest satisfaction as an individual? It's not that you created greater revenue for a company, but that you made a difference in somebody's life. So that's actually how we approach customer service, is let's plug into their deepest need as a person to make a difference and tell them, go out and do that. It's as simple as that.
And so by making that the mandate, by truly putting the customer in, it sounds like the employee first, the ancillary benefits, I would assume, also include higher customer satisfaction, higher loyalty, and along with that, more revenue.
Exactly. It certainly does translate into that. And we work with our people pretty carefully to say, hey, let's talk about the neat things that you've done for customers. And then when we get those customer service letters here sent to the corporate office, we share that company-wide with everybody. We share that news. We share that story with the hopes that that story will be repeated in other stores. And then we also reward that behavior. We'll send a very nice and substantial gift card to that coworker saying, hey, thanks for living the mission statement. Thanks for making a difference in somebody's life.
John, when you're doing training sessions, talk about that matrix a little bit. Do you tape them? Does it get played back? How big are the sessions? How many people are involved?
Our training sessions will vary anywhere between 4 hours to 9 hours. And in the context of that training, we do a lot of storytelling. We think people remember stories better than they remember facts. We think that the stories touch their hearts. And if a story touches their heart, they're probably going to do that kind of behavior in the future. So we do a lot of storytelling, not only in our training sessions. We gather all of our coworkers every year for year-end meetings. And at those year-end meetings, we will do the same thing. We'll just do nothing more than tell the great stories that happened at Quick Trip and Quick Star.
To have a training program, John, that is that embedded in that right brain and that connective to customer, employee, corporate, everything, I'm guessing that it started a long time, obviously, you've said before you came on board. Was that Don's concept, or who sort of formulated that?
Excellent comment. It certainly is from Don Zitlow, our owner and CEO. He's one of those rare individuals that really understands the big picture. He's also a CEO that wholeheartedly endorses the importance of training for a program. As a matter of fact, we had a new group of store leaders in on Monday, and Don, every time we have a new group, he'll come into the classroom, and he'll talk to them for a good 20, 25 minutes, just casual, wanting to know who they are, what they're all about. He does that because he knows the importance of training. We're not in a company where I have to go to the CEO and try to make my case for my budget. This is the guy that says the most important exposure, initial exposure, to our great culture in this company is through training. And if training doesn't happen, we won't have good customer service. He understood that instinctively many, many years ago.
Well, John, it must be difficult for you to go out into the retail world at stores that don't say Quick Trip on them and do shopping and see the level of customer service out there. What do you think when you're out there? What are you seeing?
I see a lot of disparity between how we treat our customers and how customers are treated elsewhere. And sometimes, Johnny, in all honesty, I want to sit them aside and say, hey, can I just take your employees for a couple hours and work with them? Because I think I can make you a little bit better. It's a temptation, and boy, sometimes my wife has to hold me back and say, Johnny, don't say anything. Shut up. I know what you're thinking.
I suppose it's like Steven Spielberg trying to watch a movie and not want to critique it throughout
exactly.
The whole 2 hours.
Exactly.
My guest is John McHugh. He is the manager of corporate communications and training for Quick Trip, headquartered out of La Crosse. And what led to this conversation you and I are having, John, was just a chance visit I had to a Quick Trip in Dodgeville, Wisconsin, on a two-day sojourn up to Milwaukee to watch the Brewers and the Reds. I was on vacation. And when I was in that Dodgeville Quick Trip, I saw a sign, and that sign struck me. It was the first time I had seen a sign in which the owner of the company, Don, and is it Steve Zitlow?
That's correct. Yeah, that's his son.
The quote was, and I don't have it directly in front of me, but basically, if you don't like the way this bathroom looks, call this number and we will make sure, as in Don was talking about, he and Steve will take care of it.
They do. As a matter of fact, that call comes into our communication center. What happens is that then immediately the communication center calls that store and says, hey, you got a bathroom that needs some attention. And then every Monday morning, Don gets on his desk a list of the infractions, how many customer complaints we got about bathrooms.
Wow.
And Don himself, personally, during the course of the week, will call every single one of those customers, apologize for what had happened, promises that he has the problem fixed, and then he'll send them a gift card. But he personally returns every single bathroom complaint we get in the company. Now, the good news is, we started this program 6 years ago. We used to average between 50 to 100 calls a week. Now we only average one or two.
Wow. 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 I mean, the hair on my neck is standing up. This is just amazing, John. This is exactly what this is a template. In fact, I need to ask that. Do other companies, have they tried to replicate what you're doing or do you go out and do training for other companies?
We don't do training for other companies. And our hunch is that a lot of companies wouldn't do what we do in terms of the CEO returning a personal call. Now, the reason why Don does it is also tied into our core values, honesty. He says, if I'm going to put my name somewhere in the store, and he said, by the way, that's the only place where you'll see the Zitlow name in our stores, in the restroom. He said, if it says call me and I don't call you back, that's not being honest. He said, if you just get somebody at the corporate office but it's not the CEO, it should be that person's name on the wall, not mine. It's my name on the wall. I'm the guy that has to call back. That's honesty.
Well, John, it has been honestly an amazing experience as a customer service trainer. And hey, that's a small C, small S, small T compared to what you do and how you do it on your end. I just can't tell you how thrilling it is to talk with someone who works for a company that is clearly dedicated to the mandate of making its customers happy, treating them as we all want to be treated. So just thank you for that.
We're happy to do it.
Well, John, we appreciate it. And one last question.
Sure.
The growth of Quick Trip in Quick Star, as it is in Iowa, not as visible, I would say, particularly around the Des Moines area, certainly, as the other company that sounds like yours and a spell that phonetically sounds the same. What's the growth projection for Quick Trip in Iowa and beyond?
For our entire company, we operate in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa. Our goal is to grow by 20 new stores a year. Most of those would be brand new builds. There might be a few acquisitions in that. We don't have any immediate plans to go really south of the Des Moines area into Iowa. And part of that is because of Quick Trip with a Q is so successful. I'm not so sure we would want to go face-to-face with Quick Trip with a Q. They're an excellent company. And in all honesty, we look to them. And we admire a lot of the things that they've done with customer service, with the cleanliness of their stores, with how a convenience store is operated and family held. We look up to them. So I'm not so sure we would ever want to move into their market and try to compete.
Well, we've had representatives from the Q Quick Trip store, and now I'm so thankful that I was able to talk with someone from the other Quick Trip store, because you have taught us a lot this morning. It's been a great pleasure. John McHugh, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
John McHugh, Corporate Communications Director and Trainer for the Quick Trip chain. Pleasure to have him on the show this morning. It is 8:38. Coming up, more reader response, and it is at times heated, about the Secret Shopper review of real estate agents from a couple weeks back. We'll do that. Plus, my conversation with Garrett Boone, the co-founder of the very successful Container Store chain. Now, I believe in 18 states, all that and so much more as we continue on with the Unsecret Shopper radio show on 1350 KRNT. Gotta have a little fun if you're Mr. and Mrs. Ms. Businessman Woman or whoever you is running the dealio-do, or if you're working. In fact, one of the things, what's the old saying? They say treat your employees as you would your best customer, and that absolutely, I think, works. If you're working for a great company, well, then you are truly among the blessed. If you're not so much, well, then listen, log on to theunsecretshopper.com. A lot of recruitment possibilities as I work with over a dozen clients throughout the central Iowa area looking for happy, content, and skilled employees. But hey, we can teach you the skills. It's the happy part you have to be born with. Welcome back to the Unsecret Shopper radio show at 1350 KRNT 841. As fairgoers are heading out, get your parking spots early. Going to be a scorcher today. Sunny and 91 right now, already 77. And coming up, interview with Garrett Boone, co-founder of the Container Store, very successful store, and a premise that you wouldn't necessarily think, wow, that's just going to blow up, because it's like containers is what they sell, and organizational kind of things. We'll get into that with Garrett coming up. A review that I'm getting into with a lot of readers and a very heated response from several weeks ago was a Secret Shopper review of real estate agents in the Des Moines area. Those agencies included Iowa Realty, REMAX, Next Generation Realty, Caldwell Banker, and Prudential First Realty. The premise was that on a particular Sunday, I visited 10, count them 10, open houses all on the same day. Those 10 open houses represented 5 of the major real estate companies in the Des Moines area. And not only was I looking for things like smiling, greeting, engaging, thanking, follow-upping, as are the five pillars of great customer service, five pillars of customer service with the great biosphere. Now, that one didn't really work. I was also throwing out a question to see how they would handle it. That question was, are there minorities living in the neighborhood? Yeah, it's an Archie Bunker, knuckle-dragging kind of drooly question. Yes, absolutely agreed. And how they handle that, you can read all of this by going to theunsecretshopper.com. Fascinating responses to that particular question and great reader feedback, not just about that question, but about everything in general. But in particular, one particular agent has really caught people's fancy, and that is Tiffany Laughlin. She's an agent for Prudential First Realty, and she was one of the 10 agents or one of the 10 scenarios that I was a part of that particular Sunday. And as I wrote in the blog, Tiffany was she was pleasant, but she was disconnected. I talked about in the review, she allowed me to roam the house on my own without asking if she could come with me or want to be a part of it, and just seemed sort of disconnected. Well, Tiffany responded to that in a really lengthy email, and I asked her to be on the show, and she needed to get clearance for that and apparently never got it because she has not been on this show, and that invitation is still open. But responses to that particular component still come in. I want to read to you what Pam says. She says, I don't know Tiffany, but I have to agree with her after reading the review and her response. I've been in business for 16 years, and I've learned never follow a lone man around an empty house. I am friendly, ask them to sign in, will answer any questions they have, but will not follow them around into isolated areas of the home. I usually put my finger on speed dial with my phone in my pocket, and I stay by an easy exit. It may not be good business, but it's good sense. When a woman is traumatized in the way she has been, it will affect your behavior and procedures in the future. Give her a break. This reflects many responses that I received to this particular experience. And what Tiffany had said in her email response back to me was that she had been, more or less, I believe, attacked, traumatized on a real estate call when she was alone in a home. And that clearly has stayed with her and has resonated with her. And it's an experience that is not all that uncommon, not just in real estate, but, of course, in any vocation, in any career where a person is isolated. It doesn't have to be gender specific. It can be anyone. But even let's step back even further from 10,000 feet and say any of us that is traumatized for any reason will carry that burden with us. We will take it along with us. We will carry it as long as we have the strength to hang on to it. And not to be a closet psychologist, but if we want to compare boo-boos, give me a couple hours to tell you about my own, and I'll share them with you. But you would only know them if I told you. You probably wouldn't guess that these things had happened to me. And those things include my mother took her own life, and there's sexual abuse when I was a child, and there's other things. And we all have a backstory. We all have a place of darkness. Most of us do. Some of us go through life without it unscathed. But I think God sort of says, you know, you've made it this far. I'm going to throw a little something in there because you got some things to learn, and I want to help you learn those things. And I think that's part of the thing that trauma, as horrific as it is, also does for us. It enlightens us. It forces us to move in a different place and grow ourselves in different ways. I don't welcome it. None of us do. But it also has a value to us. I think one of the great disservices we can do to ourselves, however, is to be weighed down by it, is to strap it around our shoulders and carry it around and expect to be able to function normally and then expect others to be able to interpret our behavior and figure out that, hey, the reason this real estate agent isn't being more open and friendly and coming up with me and doing what I think an agent should do is because she's been traumatized. Now, how in the world could I have known that? How could any of us know someone's backstory when they're labored down with their level of pain or grief or whatever it is? How can any of us know that? Well, of course, we cannot. We can't. It's impossible. And it is particularly egregious for anyone to expect us to be able to figure them out and be able to dissect that and give them, cut them a break because of that. That's rather unfair. If you go through a drive-thru and you're waiting for the person to take your order and you get up there and the order's wrong If I told you that person had a bad day the day before, would you have just normally figured that out because of your experience at the drive-thru, or the curt way the person greeted you, or the offhanded way they looked away from you and didn't greet you? Would you have just normally figured, oh, you know what, they must be having a bad day, or they must have been hurt somewhere along the way, and therefore they're not engaging me to the level I expect? How are we supposed to read anyone's mind or heart? Well, of course, we can't. And that's why it's up to the people with the burden to do one simple thing. Put it down. Let go of it. Put it down and let go of it and work your way through it so that you can smile and greet and engage and thank and follow up completely with no burden. Smile like you've never been hurt. Dance like nobody's watching. You know all the sayings. More responses from that coming up next Saturday as well as they continue to come. You can find all of this at theunsecretshopper.com online. Coming up, an interview with Garrett Boone, co-founder of The Container Store, one of the most successful and fastest growing retail chains in the country. You'll hear that coming up next. You're listening to The Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on AM 1350 KRNT. You better take care of business, Mr. Businessman. Hope you're taking care of your business this morning, whether you're a business owner or just doing your business, whatever it is. Thank you for tuning in along the way to The Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT, 850 now with Johnny. Sunshine 91, a hot one, but cooling off by tomorrow. Beautiful day to go out and check out the fair tomorrow with 81 for the top side. We're already at 75. Garrett Boone is the co-founder of The Container Store, now in 18 states. It is one of the fastest growing retail chains in the country. And I had an opportunity to talk to Garrett. You may notice the audio on this. Yes, I was in my car while I was recording this. Thank God for Bluetooth. Thank God for Bluetooth. Here's my interview with Garrett Boone.
Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Garrett, I'm very good, thank you. And on its face, the idea of, from 10,000 feet, of a store dedicated to containers and storage, it doesn't necessarily say, wow, that's, you know, that's going to be a success. And so my first question is it the idea or is it the execution of the idea that's led to having stores in 18 states and just doing great?
Well, I think it was an idea whose time was ripe, and I think it was a good idea. But, you know, as Will Rogers famously said, nothing's more common than a good idea, and nothing's less common than a good idea carried out. So, you know, we had to take the idea, and we had to not just carry it out, but develop it over a number of years. And I think that Kip and I and Sharon, who is our chief merchandising officer, have felt forever that we really were still developing the store, and they still feel like they are. So we have a sense of wonderment and exploration about the concept. But I do think, you know, it is a very hard concept to carry out. We've had literally thousands of people open stores like our store over the years, both large chains of stores and small mom and pops, and really no one's been successful doing it because it's very, very difficult to carry out our concept, which requires extraordinary merchandising and display and great people who are trained thoroughly and love to sell and love to help customers.
Well, Garrett, what from your history, what growing up, I know you painted in high school. You were a painter of houses and did some other odd jobs. But what in your upbringing sort of set you up to be such a successful entrepreneur?
You know, I don't know. I just always liked to create things, I guess. You know, the ultimate thing to create in business is your own store. And I think Kip always wanted to start in a retail store, too. So I don't know. I just was the kind of person who liked to chart my own way. And I found that even though I had really good jobs and learned a lot, I found that I really didn't want to work for anybody else. I wanted to do my own thing, so to speak.
Well, talk about the idea of retail storage and organization as far as a retail category. What did you invent that category?
Well, yes, we're given credit for doing that, because when we opened the first store in 1978, there was no one had thought of that as a standalone category. If you wanted to organize your closet, you might go to a department store. I think it's called the Notions Department. They had maybe hanging garment bags and a few shoe boxes or stuff, but really, there was no place even remotely carrying a comprehensive collection of products to help people organize the stuff of their lives, save space, and save time. So we just identified a need that there, would be helpful to have a one-stop resource for these things that help you organize your life, and began the journey by concentrating a lot of commercial products that were never had not been retailed before, but were very useful to industry in helping them organize stock rooms, storerooms, manufacturing processes.
Garrett, was there ever a time during the company's growth, particularly at the beginning, where you thought, "Wow, I don't think we can make it"?
Well, no, we actually started off very quickly. We had almost, we weren't paying ourselves anything, and my mom was working the store, and my wife was working the store, and then Kip's then girlfriend, who quickly became his wife and became as important as Kip and I, Sharon. We worked together, and we had no overhead, and we were cash flowing right away, and so it really started off very well. There was probably the most dangerous time in our existence was 1982-83, where we had two stores getting ready to open two more, and decided to leap into point of sale capturing of inventory and computerize our company. And we were a very small company, and that was back in the real frontier days of software systems for retail, and it was a disaster. We the people we hired were terrible, and the software was flawed, and it almost put us out of business. Took about a year to dig out of that hole, but after that, really, that was the only real rough spot in our history.
My guest this morning is Garrett Boone. He's the co-founder of the Container Store on 1350 KRNT this morning. Garrett, the customer service aspect, the training aspect of the Container Store, you're doing some things that most stores of any type in retail don't do. Did you know going in that you were going to have this level of commitment to training on the customer service end?
Well, we knew going in that we really wanted to have, we both wanted to and needed to have a store where we had really knowledgeable people helping people find solutions. We saw ourselves initially, from the very beginning, as a solution store. And that required, someone who could take our product collection and relate it to customers' needs and get them to try it. So I think the training part evolved over time. Initially, it was just osmosis, Kip and I being in the store and, being fortunate to get good people early on. And there's many of whom are still with the company, but over time we realized we needed to have more and more formal training and the training that took place both from the corporate level and the store and personal, and so it developed over time, and it's an incredibly important focus for our company.
In fact, it's so important. I understand that employees go through an initial training phase of over 200 hours. Is that correct?
For a full-time salesperson, yes, it is, and it's very multi-faceted. There's an initial week, it's called Foundation Week, where the person is not on the sales floor at all. They're learning the company, not just in the store, but what happens behind the scenes at the home office, how the distribution products work, how our merchandising philosophy works, everything about the company, and selling philosophies and foundation principles, the values that guide our company. And then from there on, it's just, to do retail right is very information intensive. You have to really arm people to represent the company with a customer at any given time. And to do that, they really have to understand the whole company and products and, how to put those products together creatively.
I remember you being quoted in a piece where you said that one great person equals three good people. What makes a great person from the Container Store's aspect?
Someone who's very energetic, very motivated, who wants to excel personally, but at the same time loves being part of a team and wants to help, the team members succeed, and Kip says the rising tide raises all boats. So that kind of personal energy and drive, compassion for people, wanting to truly help people, because we talk about both selling and customer service in the same breath. and really, you know, really smart people, bright people who are pay attention and are, you know, live in the present and you know, notice things going around them, so they can do all the things you need to do in retail to take care of your customers. Those are some of the things.
Well, all the things that you mentioned, Garrett, to me sound like a lot of right brain talent that you've either got or you don't have as a human being. How do you ferret those out? How do you identify that, like during the interview process, for example?
Well, it's a very highly evolved process of, first of all, we attract great people now because we have, you know, reputation as being a great place to work, you know, the Fortune list, best 11 years, I guess, starting off 1122 and from there. And so we have a reputation as a great place to work, so it attracts great people. We get all of everybody in the company to be involved in that recruiting process. You know, for salesperson is helping somebody on the floor, and that person is going, I love the Container Store, and the people are so great, and the merchandise is so great, and everything you do is so wonderful. That's an invitation for us to say, all of that's true, and why not join us? You know, you've got the passion, and you're a good customer, and you've got the experience, and so we recruit a lot of people from our customers who know a lot about the company. And then beyond that, there's just a very careful interviewing process where many people talk to a prospective candidate, not necessarily managers. I mean, a store could be the store manager or general manager, and store manager or a visual person, part of the visual team, or a prime-time, equivalent part-time salesperson. We just want to have a complete perspective when we're asking someone to join our company, and that interview process is very important to that.
Do you use Secret Shoppers, Garrett?
I have done it once.
talk a little bit about that experience, because that was written up in the Dallas Morning News back in February. Yeah. Very interesting experience.
Well, I'm Chairman Emeritus now. I'm not involved in the day-to-day management of the company anymore. I just help out, and I love selling. I love customer service, and I love visiting our stores and talking to people about it and coaching and mentoring. And I have been for years now saying, we don't want to sound like the rest of retail, even though we mean what, when we walk up to somebody and say, can I help you find anything, we mean it, or are you finding things okay, we really mean, you know, if you're not, we want to help you, but it makes it sound like everybody in retail. And much better to walk up to a customer and look at them and notice something about them and say something based on what we see and notice about them, like, you know, I see you're working in your closet today, or, well, I love that hat. That's really great, if you mean it, you know, if you really sincerely think it's a great hat. So I did the Secret Shopper to go around to other retailers in very upscale areas just to see in a very condensed form what I would receive in terms of approaches. So I dressed up well because I wanted to look like I could, you know, was a shopper and I could buy, and I was willing to buy, and there were things I needed that I was quite willing to spend money to buy. And walked around during a period of about 4 or 5 hours, and what I got was what I thought I would get, which was a sea of, how are you doing today, sir? You find things okay? Anything particularly you came in for? The kind of classic questions, which all caused me automatically, and I was not doing it to prove a point. I am just programmed to say, no, thanks, I'm just looking. So I just did that and reported it back to the store and said, I, you know, had two great experiences. Here's what they were. The rest of them was a sea of these things we've been talking about for years. We don't want to sound like that because we're better than that. And even though we're better than that, we sound like the retailers are not doing a good job. We're making our job harder by saying those cliches.
Why don't companies consist, and I'm a customer service trainer, and I see this all the time. You see it all the time. Why don't more companies go out of their way to train their employees or find employees that will execute a customer service mandate?
You know, it's a great question, Johnny. I think most retailers don't believe in selling. They really don't. I mean, they're retailers who have nobody on the floor at all, so obviously they just believe in merchandising and pricing. They're retailers like the ones that I encountered. Many of them are really good retailers who really do believe in customer service, so they do have somebody there who is really ready to help you if you have questions or if you ask for help. That's great customer service, but that's not selling. Selling is an interactive an active process which a salesperson goes up to a customer, causes interaction, uses that interaction, that connection, to find something about that customer that, you know, that he or she can help that customer with based upon what products that, that store has, and then makes every effort to get that person to try it today. We really believe that truly helping our customers includes getting to try things. You know, the old cliche, closing the sale, which is the candy store is never closed because you can bring anything back. So we make it very clear you can never make a mistake. But I just think so many retailers have lost. They just lost. They just don't believe in selling. They don't think it's effective. They don't think they can get good people. They are afraid that the investment training won't pay off. And you know, I hate to say it, but they're wrong.
Well, Gary, you're in 18 states. You've pretty much surrounded Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, Missouri to the south. And, you know, we got folks listening and who have shopped your stores in neighboring states and, of course, down in Texas as well. But well, everybody's wondering, all right, when do we get our container store here in Iowa, Garrett?
Well, I'd have to ask Val Richardson, who's our VP of Real Estate, and Kip, who's now chairman and CEO that I've become chairman emeritus, to find out when that might happen, but hopefully that will happen in not too distant future. I mean, we're getting ready to open a lot more stores. The economy is much better now. We slowed down a little bit the last couple of years, not a lot, but there's and we're looking at markets. We wanted to really cover the kind of classic bigger markets first, and then undertake other markets. So maybe sometime in the not too distant future.
Well, we would look forward to that. In the meantime, Garrett Boone, co-founder of the Container Store, one of the great retail success stories, just one of the great customer service stories, and just one of the great companies, period. I appreciate your time this morning, and best of luck in the future. We'll look for that store coming to Iowa real soon.
Oh, thanks, Johnny. Enjoyed talking to you.
Appreciate you tuning in this morning. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. The weatherman says, or weatherwoman says, you will indeed, with sunshine and 90 today. Right now it's 75. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you next Saturday on the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show.
Where the legends live.